Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Bloomfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturate, creator of Pro Metabolic Food Supplements and Seriously Saturated Skincare. And today I'm joined by co-host and co-founder Craig. Welcome back, Craig. It's been a while since we've done a podcast. This is our first podcast of 2025.
Yeah.
It has been
like November, I think, before. I think we were still in Dubai. We haven't recorded one since we've been in Thailand, actually.
Haven't we? No. Yeah, it's been a crazy year. 2024 for us was, oh my God, we shifted countries. We completely changed our business model.
Twice. Shifted countries twice.
We went through the most difficult time in our personal relationship we ever have. We were reflecting. We went on a walk, didn't we? A couple of days ago, just reflecting on the year. And yeah, it's interesting just talking to people, lots of different people. And I feel like 2024 was a hard year for a lot of people.
For a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was a year of transitioning and a year of awakening in a lot of areas, I think, too. Yeah.
I cried a lot in 2024. Okay. Which is probably good.
Yeah. She cried quite a bit. I wouldn't have cried.
Craig does the best impersonation of Donald Trump. Always makes me laugh.
Hilarious. It just seems to be like that for a lot of different people in different industries and
different friends of ours.
It's been a very interesting, fascinating, very hard year, but very grateful for the lessons. Nevertheless,
me too.
It's like to actually sit there and reflect of everything that kind of happened.
It's like I feel like we've done like what most people do in 10 years in 1 year.
Yeah. So, and then obviously your
sister got breast cancer.
And, that literally happened the week when we arrived in Dubai. It was like, oh, hey, glad you guys are settled, by the way.
Yeah, I know. And she's actually cancer. Well, they've done all the tests and they said it's no more cancer, which is amazing. And she's getting her breast, what's it called? Mastectomy. Is that what it's called? Yeah. They removed the breast and then rebuild it. So she's having that in this year, next week, I think. Yeah, I've been chatting with her. It's been a crazy year. Anyway, that's not what we got on here to talk about. We just wanted to get back into Red Craig's like, come on, Kitty, come on.
Yeah, come on, wind it up. Let's not start off 2024 with a depressing fucking podcast, all right? I think we've talked about this enough.
One really amazing thing about moving to Thailand is we adopted these two beautiful dogs, which I just love so much, Marley and Suri. Because I missed Winston Henry when we moved, like cried and cried and cried, just missed them so much. And it was, we adopted these guys off the street, these two dogs.
Off the pier. The pier is fascinating when you go down there, because such a large area and there's just packs of, gangs of dogs. It's like prison, basically.
Yeah.
And these dogs don't go to that side and this, otherwise they just get into these huge scuffles.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. But then when the humans are down there, all the dogs are super friendly. And then once a few too many get around, they all just start going nuts. It's really fascinating. And these two that we got managed to escape the pier because they got dumped down there. And they're only young. They're only like
8 months now. Yeah.
7 months, yeah.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. I love them.
They got
so
dumped
much.
And they were just obviously because they're young and they were new, they were just getting smashed by all the other dogs and they managed to swim across the bay. Over the beach, which is about
now living there on their own. Hey,
yeah, and they were just living above this tree, which was amazing. So,
and they had another sister, and she got really so badly attacked. And Dee, this beautiful lady that we met that looks after all the dogs,
she runs the dog sanctuary here.
Yeah, with some other guys, and she adopted her. So we need to organize a little get together so they can have a little family reunion. But oh my God, I just love them. They get to sleep on my bed at night, which is so cool. which I love, and I have cuddles with them every night. They bring so much joy.
Yeah, they're such beautiful nature. It's really interesting. You know, dogs, obviously, like they went through really really brutal time for a while there, and you know, obviously, they were very very timid when we brought them home. But
yeah,
you know, just give them heaps of love and feed them and take them for walks, and they're it's funny because they didn't bark. They weren't doing anything when they first arrived, and now they had kind of a sense of ownership. They're like, no, this is my house. So now they hear stuff outside. They run to the fence and they bark, and it's really cool.
Yeah. Anyway,
definitely.
That's our little update. Good. Yeah.
Feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. Good, I love positive. Them. And they look so much healthier now. We've been feeding them liver and eggs and chicken.
Oh, incredible. Especially Marley.
Milk.
She's kind of got the long hair.
She had the mange.
Yeah. And it was all back. Matted. It was real thin. And now it's real thick. And she's got that real like glow. It's real golden. It's amazing.
It is incredible how much the food.
Bit of liver, bit of chicken, rice, coconut oil, eggs.
Yep. Carrots. Yeah. They love carrots sometimes. Carrots. Sometimes a bit of fruit. Yep. Rice. Yeah. It's good. They love it.
But anyway. It's so funny though. Obviously, the dog people are just like, no, don't give them too much of that. Give them the Kimball stuff, the dry foods they need wet and dry. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, I know. We've been feeding them our food. We feed them like us. They eat the same shit as us. Yeah. But anyway, so today's podcast, we wanted to talk because I posted on Instagram and got some questions. And I just thought, this topic I think would be really helpful to a lot of women. So, you know, a lot of women who follow us and come to us initially, like me, have done a lot of restrictive diets, you know, cut carbs, cut sugar, always trying to achieve this number on the scale. And, you know, they've tried a million different diets and they're just not sure what works. So we wanted to talk today about, you know, why it's really important, I think, to set specific goals to work towards. And then Craig's going to talk about the different phases, like a fat loss phase or a muscle building phase or a body recomposition phase. And a lot of the majority of the women that work with us until they become more advanced can actually just go through a body recomposition phase. And we just wanted to talk a little bit more about that and how it works. So perhaps Craig, you know, and this was a really interesting question that a lady posted on the on Instagram today, which I thought could be a good starting point. Let me just find it. Where is it? In a deficit forever, nor can I stay at my lowest weight. Not sure what I should be doing now. I thought this would be a good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think, you know, like,
Just repeat the question. I've got a couple of ways I'm going to go.
She's got this obviously specific goal weight that she wants to achieve, and she needs to constantly be in a deficit to maintain that goal weight. She's not sure what to do.
Yeah. I think this is what most women will face. They diet down, they get there, and then they're like, okay, so I just go back to eating normal. And then all the weight comes back on, and it usually, depending on the severity of the deficit, if they've obviously lost a decent amount of lean body mass during that time, obviously the maintenance calories drops, they go back to eating quote unquote normal, and then the weight comes back and more, and they're eating lesser calories, and then you know, like there's obviously things in there like some binges and it's like I finished my diet now, I need to reward myself sort of scenarios that come up, and that all just leads to excess calories, which. You know, it's obviously going to see that rapid sort of weight gain. So I think first and foremost, your context is always very, very important. I think if we use the example of, you know, someone who's, a novice lifter, for example, they don't have a lot of muscle mass. They haven't been really strength training properly for, more than 12 months consistently and properly with a structured program. I think anyone who goes through that scenario of just like dieting too hard, this is the ultimate outcome that's always going to happen, because they kind of get down there and it's sort of like, well, what the fuck do I do now? And if you've just been focusing on that one metric, which is your total body weight, then ultimately it just leads to, okay, well, I'm just going to starve myself. I'm going to do lots of cardio. Maybe I was doing some weights, but there's no strategy behind how you're trying to lose that weight. It's just like, well, my total body weight is made up of fat. It's made up of muscle. It's made up of glycogen, water, all this stuff. It's all just weight. I want to lose the 10 kilos, so just get rid of all of the weight. That's essentially what you're doing. But as we know, if I was to say to anyone, I'm like, okay, so you want to lose 10 kilos, 10 kilos of what exactly do you want to lose? Now, everyone will always say, well, obviously I want it to be 10 kilos of fat. And I go, cool. All right. So we have a net fat loss of 10 kilos. So in order to lose, because 10 kilos is a decent number, if you lose 10 kilos simply by dieting and by not doing any sort of strength training, then the likelihood that your body is going to prioritize the loss of muscle over the loss of fat is going to be quite high. Now, obviously, if you're in any deficit, you're going to be losing fat, but muscle atrophy is going to happen at a pretty quick rate as well, because again, calorically expensive tissue, a lot harder to maintain. So your body just goes, oh, we don't need to keep this. We don't really need all of the resources, everything for it. So let's just get rid of it. Okay. So in this situation, we need to look at, well, what is our body made up of? It's muscle and fat. Okay. We know that you need to be in a caloric deficit. So you need to diet off by the amount of food that you eat is what's going to drop your body weight. The amount of muscle that you have on your body or your ability to get strong in the gym is what's going to allow that muscle to grow. So we have two ways we need to look at this. We're not just trying to diet off 10 kilos. We're trying to decrease body fat by being in a caloric deficit, and we're looking to increase muscle mass or at least maintain our muscle mass by what we do in the gym. So now we're focusing on more of a body recomposition perspective, because while we're losing this 10 kilos, we're also trying to put on muscle as well, which equally is, if you were to lose 10 kilos of body weight, lose some muscle, you would actually have, you know, maybe a net fat loss of maybe only 7 kilos, because you might lose 3 kilos of muscle in the process because it's wasted away because of that strategy. However, if you were to lose 10 kilos of total body weight, but you would have put on 2 kilos of lean muscle, you would actually have a net fat loss of 12 kilos because you've lost 10 kilos of body weight. And if your muscle is going up, you can't be losing any of that muscle during that time. So on top of the 10 kilos, you've added 2 kilos of muscle. For every muscle you have is a kilo less fatter you are, essentially, because your body weight is only made up of muscle and fat. So every kilo of muscle you put on is an extra kilo of fat that you lose. So if you lose 10 kilos of body weight while putting on 2 kilos of lean muscle mass, you actually have a greater net fat loss. So the outcome that you always want, or the body that you always want, is always going to be at the end of how much muscle you can put on. So in the case of somebody who's, and again, this is where context is dependent, where, you know, height plays a bit of a role. If you're 5'2", you know, and you're, you know, 65 kilos, you know, you'd probably be like above 30%. But if you're, say, kitty's height, you know, 174 centimeters, you know, you're a bit taller than the average, then, you know, at 65 kilos, you're going to be quite lean. So context is a little bit dependent here. But I think it's really, really important to understand that if say you've got 10 kilos to lose and your goal is like, yeah, but I remember, you know, back when I was in my 20s, you know, and I was like 60 kilos and I, you know, that's when I was at my leanest. And I was just like, okay, cool. But, you know, maybe you've had kids and your body structure's changed a little bit, but what was actually happening back then? It's very unlikely that you were, you know, you had a great body composition, you were just skinny, right? This is the likelihood, right?
And under eating. So, a lot of women under eat. Yeah.
Under eat, you know, it's just starving themselves. And maybe like, maybe when you're in 20s, you know, life's not particularly stressful at that time. You don't have a partner and kids and all the other stuff that you're doing, you know, going out drinking till 5 a.m. and just going to work the next day like it's nothing. You know, we'd all die trying to do that now. So we've got to kind of look at this again in context for the individual, because often this is where the missing piece actually really needs to be focused on, is because a person isn't assessing their body composition of where they are right now. So it's just like, what's my body weight? What's my body fat percentage? Once I know those two, I then know my lean body mass and actually how much body fat I have on me in terms of total kilos of weight. I then need to then set a goal body weight and a goal body fat percentage that's going to allow me to see that, is this goal a positive goal? And by a positive goal, I mean that you're losing body weight from body fat because you are actually putting on muscle. If you were to lose, the 10 kilos at a body fat percentage that's the same as your current body fat percentage, well, that whole weight that's been lost has been from muscle and not from fat. So that's a negative goal. We don't want that. We never want to be in a situation where we're losing muscle at any point. So we want to create a positive goal. And often what this means is, the more, and this is where obviously a person's training capability really comes to the forefront. You know, if you've got a bit more experience or you played a lot of sport in your younger days and you're a little bit more capable, you're likely to pick up the art and effectiveness of weight training a bit quicker than someone who's never done anything like that before. There is a genetic component there. Some people are just naturally a little bit more genetically gifted in terms of putting on muscle mass. It's not a lot, but, you know, it definitely, to say that it doesn't happen, I think is quite dismissive. So, you know, those things are taken into account, but the principles of obviously how you build muscle is the same for everyone. You need mechanical tension. You need to be progressively, or you need to be getting stronger over time for that to happen. So if we're going through this process and we understand that, okay, this is my current body composition, this is the body composition that I want to achieve, and let's just say in this situation, she's gone from 70 kilos down to 60 kilos, you know, et cetera. But the more muscle that she puts on means that the more fat that she's dropping efficiently. So what actually might happen is she might only get down to 64 kilos. Her body fat percentage is lower because she's actually put on more muscle, and she actually has a far more superior body composition, but technically she's 4 kilos heavier on the scale. So to anyone who's only focusing on body weight and what the actual scale says, and we need it, like that is one data point we need in this whole, you know, piece here to make it work. But if you were to just lose 10 kilos and you don't really look any different, well, obviously that, you know, there is a muscle component you haven't put on. But a lot of the times a lot of people are not aware, is they're like, no, I don't want to be 64. That's not going to be enough. I need to be 60. And I'm like, trust me, if you do it this way, or if you fucking do it my way, the likelihood that you're going to put on, especially if you are a novice lifter, you have so much runway to gain in terms of how much muscle you can put on. A person who's a beginner is going to, you know, relatively is going to put on a hell of a lot more muscle mass than say you or I will in the next 12 months, because we've been doing this a long time. We're advanced, you know, gains come very slowly at this point. But for a novice lifter, that happens, you know, quite good. They can make massive amounts of progress in 9 to 12 months, absolutely massive progress. So the thing is, for a lot of these people, is that they're likely to put on more muscle mass, and more muscle mass obviously weighs something. So the total weight on the scale might actually end up being much, much higher. But if they do their girth measurements and they look at their photos and they compare the before and afters, they'll see a much more improved body composition. But in a lot of times, it's often at a slightly higher body weight than what they realize. And I think this leads to the whole point of making sure that you're assessing each week. You know, it's just like, yes, you've got to work out your average 7-day body weight. Yes, you've got to do your girth measurements every 7 days. You want to look at, you know, photos, you know, like every 4 weeks, I think is pretty appropriate for most people. You want to be looking at your strength data and see your strength going up. You're like, you have all of these data points that allows you to step back and not be emotional about anything and just go, okay, cool. Well, my body weight's going down and my measurements are going down. I can see that my lean body, I can see that my lean body mass is going up. And this is also backed up by the fact that my strength in the gym is going up. I'm just going to see the PBs, right? So I'm assessing all this. Yes, my clothes are feeling different, you know, which is always a really, especially for females, they're like, oh, you know, shout out to Karina. She was with her, I think we might've mentioned it in the last one, put on a leather skirt. She's like, I haven't been able to fit into this unless I was like less than 65 kilos. And she was, I think she was at 68. She's like, oh, this fits perfectly. And again, that's just purely because she has more muscle, you know, and it's that one analogy that I've always used, that you've got two women, you know, at say 70 kilos, one's 30% body fat and the other one's 20% body fat. The one who's at 20% body fat will be wearing the smaller dress size because she has more muscle. So we have to realize that even though muscle weighs something, it is drastically going to change, you know, your composition and how things are fitting on your body, because muscle is more denser. I mean, it takes up much less space for the same total weight as what body fat does. Body fat takes up about 5 times more space inside the body. So having more muscle is never a bad thing. Because you're going to fit into clothes. You don't have to diet as hard if you've got more muscle, you know, to get to a certain body composition. Again, context is very dependent here. But yeah, I mean, this is why it's so important to always be assessing body composition, especially when you start this journey. And then, you know, like I said, you've got this two-pronged approach. It's just like my body weight is going to be controlled by how much food I eat. The muscle is going to be controlled by how strong I get. And literally, they're really the only two things you need to focus on. You know, I'm not a huge cardio guy. I think, you know, it's, I've had clients who've done it to increase the caloric deficit a little bit more. But a lot of the time it's not needed. They just do steps. You know, some do it because they like to do it. That's fine. That needs to.
Yeah, I think you should just do what you enjoy, you know.
Yeah. Well, again, there's context to that as
context,
well.
Context, of course. I mean, like,
we won't drift on that point too much here. But yeah, I think it's just the point that I'm trying to get to is you have to assess where you currently are in terms of your body composition, and then you need to set a goal body composition. Then you set your calories and macros. You set the training program. You then do your check-in every week, and you can see, okay, from where I started, what changes have happened to my body composition this week? Are they in line with the strategy I've set up to get towards the goals? Now, just to extend on this a little bit more, actually, I had a client who I was doing this exact process with just before, and she had set up her goal where she was to lose 10 kilos of body weight, and she set up her, I can't remember what her start. I think she was like 76 kilos. She was at 33 or 34% body fat. And I think she set it up at 64. No, I think she put 60 at 20% or something like that. So she had to lose, you know, a big portion of her body weight, but her train on goal was only like 0.8 of a kilo. And I was like, I'm not saying that that's unrealistic, but I said, like, that's, you know, you're literally just going to be starving yourself to kind of get here. I said, why don't we refigure this goal and make it look like this? And I can't remember now. I think I put her at like 67 kilos at like 17%. So what it ended up meaning, she only had to diet off, you know, I think, again, I can't remember now. It was like 7 kilos as opposed to 10 or 11 kilos. But then she was going to train on like 5 kilos of lean muscle, which actually gave her, you know, a net fat loss of like 13 kilos, which was actually higher, like a higher net fat loss than what her initial goal had set up. And once I sort of showed this to her in the calculation, she was like, oh, okay, yeah, this makes more sense. And but again, she was just like, I've always been held to this number because this is a number that I was at back in my early 20s and I looked really, really good. And it's just like, yeah, no, I totally get that. But we can make it much better if we do it this way because you're going to have more muscle and you're going to look a certain way.
You can eat more food.
I said, you know what, because I've got the body fat pictures there that people kind of look at. And, you know, when she kind of clicked on, she was like, I want to be like 70%, like this picture of this girl. And it's just like, you could see the shoulders and the bum and you know, the nice
peach bum, as Craig said.
Yeah, the peach bum and the, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, well, what you're looking at there is a version that has more muscle than you currently do. You know, she's got more muscle. Obviously, she's leaner because she's down at 17%, but she has more muscle at a particular body weight. So I'm like, this is the difference. So now we have, as I said before, this two-pronged approach where it's just like, okay, the calories need to be about where the body weight goal is. The lean body mass goal needs to be about what the training does.
Mm.
And this is how we kind of remove that whole emotional attachment to a lot of the very weird and very bizarre strategies that got thrown out now. Like it's just like, no, you've got to fast and you've got to, you know, you've got to
cut carbs out completely. You've got to, you can't eat this food. You've got to be keto. Yeah. It's so interesting.
Insert weird dumb shit.
Yeah. That's what I think I loved so much about when I met you and Damon, you know, and then obviously Emma introduced me to pro metabolic nutrition and I was like, oh my God, like I can eat carbs. And I can eat all these delicious foods. And, you know, it was so, I then had a really clear plan of how to get from where I was to where I wanted to be. And instead of always focusing on starving myself, I was focusing on fueling my body and increasing my performances in the gym. And it was so fun and so empowering, you know. And it taught
it's hard
me
to do that when you're starving yourself. Right?
It's very, like, it's difficult.
Like, look at any other sport, you know, whether it's a team sport or if it's, you know, if you're a sprinter or if you're, you know, anything, like none of those athletes starve themselves in order to think that they're going to have a better performance. But the performance goals are equal to the fat loss goals because they actually increase the amount of fat loss that you can achieve. So your performance and what you do with your training is literally everything. Like how strong you can get is literally the only thing that is going to determine how well your body composition improves.
It was interesting. Oh, sorry, keep going.
No. Go ahead. I was just going to say, like, you can't, anything else around that is completely irrelevant because muscle either grows or it shrinks. That's it. And the more muscle you have, the more muscle growth that you have, the more improvements you see like throughout your body. But the physique that you want is always a version of yourself that is much more capable in the gym, is much stronger than you currently are. So trying to outthink about ways my biohacks that I can use to improve, I'm like, you just need to get stronger. Like you don't eat enough protein, eat enough carbs to improve your performance and get into the fucking gym and just get after
it. Great. But remember too, for women listening to this, I think a lot of them come to us and they see me and they're like, oh fuck, I'll never be as strong as Kitty. Maybe you'll never be as strong as me. Maybe, or maybe you will, but you just need to get stronger than you are. And it's about...
I want that limiting belief on
true,
anyone.
That is very
it's
true.
Like you were a skinny, starving woman when I met you.
True. It's pretty amazing.
Actually, it took you a long... Well, it didn't really take you good, you know, it was a good 18 months of you just really head down, bum up.
Years.
Training, you got into powerlifting and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, you made massive improvements to your physique. You know, I mean, we've been at this 10 years now and it was probably those first 18 months where you made a lot of your progress.
Yeah.
But you, like anything, you were just like, right, I'm training 4 days per week and I've got my food and I'm going to do that. You know, like you just... Yeah. You went into it and you went after it. You made a lot of progress. Anyone is capable of doing this because we've done this
with so many women
times now.
It's amazing too. You know, a lot of women come in and when they go through this process, their health improves as well. You know, so like when they're actually eating enough to fuel their body, they're eating regular, well-balanced meals, they're getting enough sleep, you know, they're incorporating these pro-metabolic foods that we talk about, reducing polyunsaturated fat. So not only does their body change and they build muscle, but their, you know, perimenopausal, menopausal symptoms or hormonal issues disappear. Their period becomes regular. You know, they start sleeping, they've got more energy, their digestion improves. Because I think, you know, so many women, and I was actually signed up a lady today into the program and, you know, she's been fasting, just doing everything that I used to do. And she's like, I've just got so many digestive issues and I feel like my body's dysfunctional, Kitty.
Yeah.
And I'm so confused about what I need to do. And I just, you know, she's been following us for a while. She's like, I'm finally ready to make that commitment. You know, I really want to go all in and I want to know what to do now. I want help. And I think sometimes we can just overcomplicate this process so much.
Yes.
Which is totally understandable because there's so much information out there, but that's what I love about this process is it's getting very clear on where am I at now? Where do I want to be? You know, what do I need to eat? How do I need to train? You know, recovery, sleep, all of those things, eating the foods that you enjoy so you get the nutrients that your body needs and you don't have to cut carbs. You don't have to cut sugar and you can eat delicious fruit and orange juice and ice cream. If you like ice cream, again, if you don't like ice cream, you know, I'm just obsessed.
So I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I wanted to quickly jump in and talk about our brand new Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-Day Challenge. Are you a woman over 40 who's feeling stuck when it comes to your health and your body? Maybe you've tried all the diets, you've cut carbs, you've done endless hours of cardio, and you still feel frustrated with no lasting results. You are not alone. This is so common for women in their 40s and beyond. But the good news is there is a better way. This is where the Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-Day Challenge comes in. Say goodbye to endless hours of cardio, restrictive diets, cutting sugar, carbs, and quick fixes. And say hello to feeling strong, lean, and energized like never before. Get ready for a healthier metabolism, better sleep, balanced hormones, more energy, and sustainable fat loss. Transform your body, health, and life after 40. So this isn't just a quick fix diet or a one-size-fits-all workout plan. It's a method that combines metabolic support and body recomposition, specifically designed to help women build muscle, lose body fat, and restore hormonal and metabolic health after 40. So here's what you're going to get in the 28 days of the challenge. Custom macros and meal planning. So no more restrictive dieting or food fear. You'll learn how to set macros, adjust macros, build meal plans, and eat foods you love while fueling your body to burn fat and build muscle. We've got hundreds of structured training programs. So these are designed for busy women with simple, effective workouts that you can do at home or in the gym. Each workout is actually customizable to the equipment you have access to, and each exercise comes with a detailed video tutorial. You get daily coaching and support. So you get access to me and Craig for 28 days to help guide you every step of the way, accountability, support, encouragement, and expert advice. You get to use our incredible new strength tracker app to track your progress, complete weekly check-ins, track your food, build meal plans, and use our unique training system to ensure your technique is spot on and you're progressing week to week. You also get access to us for 28 days, so you can jump on live calls and get feedback and coaching on your check-ins, as well as access to us via our community platform to ask questions and get support. And you get lifetime access to the course materials with modules on nutrition, metabolism, and hormonal health, plus guides on setting macros, creating balanced meal plans, recipe books, meal ideas, and we're just going to teach you everything you need to know about nutrition. And here's the best part. It's just a one-time payment of $29 Australian. Plus, it comes with a money-back guarantee. So if by the end of the challenge, you're not convinced you can build muscle, lose body fat, and improve your health and hormonal issues using my method, I'll refund your money, no questions asked. This challenge isn't just about 28 days. It's about creating a sustainable lifestyle where you feel empowered to take control of your health, eat delicious food, and finally break free from restrictive diets and endless hours of training. So if you're ready to finally take control back of your body and your health, click on the link below in the show notes and join today. Let's get back to the podcast.
But having a clear path, I think. It's interesting that lady messaged you today in the challenge. What did she say? She said, I've been seeing naturopaths for like so many years.
Yes.
I could just never got anywhere. And it's so nice now to have a clear path to reach my goals. Yes. I can actually see. And we get that all the time with women. Yeah. Because the thing is, even though we use the same overarching principles for everyone, how we apply those to that specific person depends on lots of different factors. And it's got to be tailored to fit your life. And, you know, how many days a week you can train. How many steps can you do? Some people can't do 10,000 steps. Yeah, they just can't. Yeah. Other people can be more active and they love training, you know, and they play sports, so they've got to have more calories. So, you know, it really teaches you too, I think, to get in tune with your body and understand food.
Want to add to that. I think that's why it's so important to test and measure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess one of my biggest pet peeves is when people are, you know, they'll say things that's just like, oh, you know, I'm not losing weight because my cortisol is high. And I always ask, I'm like, can you tell me what your cortisol is now? No idea. I'm like, what about when you wake up in the morning? Can you tell me what your cortisol is? Like, well, what about before you go to bed? Mm. Can you tell me what your cortisol is? No, I can't do that. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm not saying that, you know, and again, other symptoms that come up and, you know, you ask enough questions, you're going to, I'm like, yeah, you probably are. And you're more of a high stress, you know, cortisol or adrenalized state. Yeah, for sure. But you're making decisions off something that you can't measure. And when you're doing that and it doesn't work, you won't know what to change because you can't explain how that was going to work in the first place. So, you know, my biggest thing is just like, look, I'm not dismissing that those things aren't real, but ultimately at the end of the day, the things that are going to have an absolute improved effect on this is, you know, how much food you eat, what types of food you eat, do you know, assessing your body composition by doing your body weight every day and doing your measurements each week, do you know, and then you can obviously measure how much sleep you're getting, you know, if you've got an Oura Ring or a Garmin watch, whatever, you know, like these are all the things that ultimately are the big foundations that you can absolutely improve on. And I think a lot of times when we end up, you know, having these conversations with people, you know, like I ask enough questions and I'm like, well, they're not even following a plan of any sort, you know, and they're making assumptions based off how they feel. And I'm like, what about if you just had a consistent input of calories, of protein, carbs, and fats from the right food so that you had enough energy, but you're also getting enough nutrients to, plug any deficiencies that you might have? Do you think you just might feel better just from doing that? And so it's like, well, obviously you will. But if you're not even doing that, then anything that you try to change is essentially like, you know, stepping over $100 bills to pick up nickels. That's the best analogy for that. You're focusing on things that are way down the list. And ultimately, a lot of these things like cortisol, adrenaline, different ailments that people have will just generally course correct as a result of just giving your body what it needs when it needs it. And, you know, there's just no substitute for the consistency of the foundational principles. Enough calories, protein, fats on the right foods, getting enough sleep at night, staying off alcohol, getting some sun, lifting some weights, building some muscle, you know, trying to get, you know, if you get 8,000 steps a day, that's great. You know, like any steps better than it, you know, like all of these things are the things that are really going to make the biggest difference. Then after that, this is where like supplementation can really give you the edge on certain things. You know, then if you're sure, it's just like, absolutely, there's a bunch of things that we can certainly do that, you know, but we've tested that it's just not, you know, a basic fundamental stuff just not being done right first. Because I've had clients that have all these issues, and just by simply doing all those things, like, oh, I'm feeling really good. So I was just like, okay, cool. You know, like you would have wasted all your money buying all these supplements and doing all of this stuff and not actually really fixing the root cause of the problem here. So it's just like, you have to start from the start. Foundations is lifestyle and behaviors, you know, calories, macros, you know, nutrient timing, all of those things in the priority pyramid, which, you know, should be the focus.
Yeah. And I think, just actually eating, it's about eating the right amount for your specific goals, which I think is the key. You know, I get lots of questions, Kitty, what should my calories and macros be? Well, that's going to depend on your goal, where you're at now. You know, what is your body composition goal? And once you understand that, then, you know, it's about, like you say, regular meal planning and prepping, getting your steps in, you know, staying active, getting sun, getting sleep, setting yourself. It's like habits and behaviors. You know, set the goals, and then what are the habits, what are the behaviors that I need to have in place to actually achieve those goals, and then being specific. Because I think so many women, they're like, oh, I just don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Well, it's like, because you're just not getting specific. But it's, I understand, because I did the same thing for years and years and years. And yes, it does take some time to like learn all this stuff, but it's so empowering once you have the knowledge, and it just becomes easier and easier over time. So maybe, Craig, just talk through like what the different phases are and when they would be appropriate.
Yeah. So a recomp phase is essentially, if we just look at it from the point of what happens with calories and what happens with training. So recomp phase is essentially, we want to be keeping calories at our maintenance, right? So obviously you would do the body composition test to work out what that is, and you would set your calories at maintenance. So obviously not trying to gain, not trying to lose. We just want to try and keep our body weight where it is. And then let the training, essentially, as we get stronger in the gym each week, you know, the measurements come down, and that's what body recomposition is. It's the muscles going on and the fats coming off while your body weight stays at the same. Now, this can be used in a variety of contexts. You know, for example, if someone's, you know, had some time off, you know, they've gone away on vacation for a month or something like that, and partied a bit too hard and drunk and, you know, eating all the wonderful food, and they come back and whatever, like, oh, I need to diet to get this off. I'm like, no. You've just been over consuming way too much food, and you haven't trained. So your muscles are atrophied. It's just like, if you've been training a bit beforehand, all that muscle is going to come back quickly. And we want to keep energy, you know, that little bit higher in order to just facilitate this process. And it's just like, you might run that for, say, something like 8 weeks. You know, and if you do it properly, you'll see massive changes in body recomposition. Then you can do another reassessment. And then that's maybe when you'll go into a fat loss, because you're like, oh, you know, got my strength back to kind of where it was. That's cool. But I'm still carrying a little bit more fat. It's just like, okay, cool. Obviously, continue to build strength is a slower process. So at that point, it's just like, okay, well, maybe we'll just pull the calories down so my body weight comes down, but I'm still going to train as if I'm trying to make progress. And then, you know, that essential body recomposition process kind of comes into a bit more of a hybrid recomp fat loss phase, because you're still trying to gain muscle while you're in a bit of a slight deficit. And then you continue to run that until it gets a little bit too hard and you start getting lean. And then you don't try and make progress in the gym anymore. You just halt all your numbers. So, you know, if you were doing, you know, a hack squat for, you know, 60 kilos for, you know, a set of 8 reps, it's just like, okay, each week you're just going to go in and do 60 for 8, 60 for 8, 60 for 8. And same with all of the other exercises. That's basically just sending the signal to your body that you need to keep the current amount of muscle that you currently have on your body. And that way, any fat that comes off is just going to be from bringing the calories down, you know, and that would be a really, really smart way of ultimately getting to a really good body composition. For somebody else who's got a lot of weight to lose, you know, maybe they've got, you know, they're 35% body fat or more, you know, you've got 20, 30 kilos to lose, then obviously going into a deficit, maybe a 15% deficit or something like that to start. Again, context matters a lot here because it depends on how well this person is in terms of, you know, tracking their food. If they've been, if they're really overweight, but they've been chronically dieting for a while, then that's a little bit tricky because, you know, obviously they've got a lot of stored energy on their body because they've been eating too much. But if they've been in this perpetual cycle of dieting, the word diet and going through a dieting phase to them, they associate that with just epic fucking failure. So, you know, them trying to get in and build these habits. So sometimes keeping the calories a little bit higher so they feel really, really satiated and they feel comfortable, they feel safe in that. And just working on improving that habits is like, okay, I want you to just work on trying to get to like 8,000 steps a day. Let's try and get you into the gym 3 times a week. You might do this for 4 weeks, see what happens each week with their body composition. And for some people that we've had people literally just go into that, build this habit and just stay at those same amount of calories and make a massive change over 6 months. And then we can go into a bit more of a specific dieting phase. But again, I'll always assess that depending on the person and their strength capability. If there's somebody who's really strong, like I said, a recomp phase can be really, really beneficial. Or if they've just got that much strength there, they can go into a really hard dieting phase and actually lose a lot of fat very, very quickly because they've already got a lot of muscle on their body. So it's, again, it's context dependent, but essentially you've got your muscle gain phase, which might only be 5 or 10% above your maintenance calories. It's not much. I rarely use that with most people because most people don't need it. I think you can build as much muscle as you need just within your recomp sort of calories, especially females anyway. And then you just have your fat loss phase. And the fat loss phase, you know, the severity of the deficit will kind of be determined on the person. I've had some people who've come in who've, you know, a bit under muscled, you know, might have 5 or 10 kilos to lose. Like, I really want to do a fat loss phase, whatever. And I'm like, look, I think you could probably do a recomp for a little while, or, you know, just maybe go into a 10% deficit, like a small deficit, because you've still got quite a bit of runway. You've actually got more runway in terms of like building muscle than you do, you know, being in a caloric deficit now. So your net fat loss will actually be higher if you do it, but they're just like, no, I want to go into a 25% deficit or something like that. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, and sometimes you've just got to let someone go through that experience because they're so emotionally tied to it at this stage. It's sort of like, okay, cool. I'm just kind of going to guide you into the guardrail a little bit. And basically get you to come to this realization that fuck, my calories are really low. I'm really, really tired and I'm grumpy and the fat loss is a little bit slower and, you know, I'm not really making much progress in the gym, and when I do push hard I get super, super hungry. I'm thinking about food all the time and whatever, and it's just like, yeah, it's like your starting point really wasn't ideal to be doing this. So I think let's you know, bring this back to a much more appropriate strategy at this time.
Yeah, I think
sometimes, yeah. Like I don't always have to argue with people. Like I just sort of say, look, here are your options, right? Yeah.
Oh, just lost the sound. Just lost your sound. That was weird.
Back.
There we go. Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, this is my internet connection been unstable. Fuck, I've lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
just about sorry. Sometimes people, yeah, I think, and just if I can add my 2 cents in here, maybe this will you'll be able to get your train of thought back. But you know, I've been there where you're so, I just want to be small, I just want to lose weight, I just want to lose weight. And I think, you know, if you've been constantly cutting calories for years and years, you know, it does cause this dysfunction in the body. It literally breaks down your body, and it affects your hormones, your sex hormones. I can't speak today. A bit tired today. Your sex hormone production, your digestion.
Let's not record a podcast at 5 PM in the afternoon.
We sort of got busy today, but I was like, "That's it. We're locking the podcast in." It can be so. You're just so desperate to be in a certain way. This is just a great example. This is a client in our group coaching program, and she joined and she said, "Look, I just really wanted." She got on a call with me and she said, "Prior to this, I used Ozempic and lost a lot of weight." So she's like, "But I also realize now that I lost a lot of muscle, which downregulated my metabolism. You know, my maintenance calories are much lower." And she's like, "Oh, I just really, you know, I've been dieting on 1600 calories and I'm down to 55 kilos. She said, "But I feel like shit, Kitty.
Yeah.
I'm so tired. I don't sleep." She's like, "I'm just so exhausted." And she's actually going to work with one of our coaches one-on-one. And I said to her, "Listen, we just got to get you eating more and focusing on your training in the gym and getting stronger. Yeah. You know, we need to nourish your body and give it the nutrients and energy so you can sleep, so you can feel good and focus more on the long term." Because I think it's so easy, like we're all so desperate for the quick fix and we want it now. And I think, you know, what really changed it for me was just falling in love with the process. And that's what I loved about this process, is this body recomposition, focusing on strength and body recomposition was so much more enjoyable. It was so fun. You know, the whole process of seeing my body change, going into the gym and getting stronger every week, just chipping away. And then, you know, one day I remember when I first squatted 100 kilos, I was like, "Fuck yeah, one rep, 100 kilos." It was at the gym on site when I worked on site. I remember sending Craig a video and I was just so chuffed with myself. I never thought I could do that ever in a million years. You know, in the deadlifting, when I deadlifted over 100 kilos for the time, I was like, "Oh man, this is the most empowering shit ever," you know. And I finally, my body was changing. I was eating more food and I was feeling so good. And I started sleeping and I had more energy. And instead of trying to make myself as small as possible, I was like, "Okay, I just want to build this strong body," you know. And it was just so empowering. And I think, and I get it as a woman, you know, it's you just get desperate and you're like, "If I could just achieve this number on the scale, if I could just be thin, I'll be happy." But you never are. You know, and if you can fall in love with the process of getting more consistent and playing that long game, like if you could just focus on what you can achieve in 12 months, not 12 weeks, like it will be so life-changing. And setting yourself up with those habits, like we still, you know, we haven't tracked our food strictly for a very long time, and like more recently not been just tracking at all. Not even, you know, but we still follow the same principles. Yeah. We still food prep, you know. I still
Thailand, probably it's been
even in Dubai when I was in Australia, you know. Yeah. But I still follow the same principles, you know, and I know
we always still do food prep though.
Always, yeah. And I prep like a couple
food
of
food always there, and it's just like you might just eat a bit more, and you know, they might
be a bit less,
or you know, out or two, you know, like you know, it's all alive. But
yeah, once you get to maintenance, you can do that. Like once you get strong and you've built that foundation. But
it's so easy for us to do it because again, it's a habit that you realize that your day is just going to be better when food is prepped.
Yeah. Like with the moment we've been
like, "Oh, lunch." I'm like, "Oh, what am I going to have?" It's just like, no, food's already there. You just go and heat it up and away you go.
Yeah. I did this amazing sweet chili garlic sauce and marinated chicken thighs. Oh my God. Skinless chicken thighs. So we've got them in the fridge. We've got rice, got tzatziki, make a little salad to go with it, a coconut, some watermelon. It's just the best. But you can make other stuff out of it too, like stir fries. We've made, we've got soft shell tortillas. You can make all these different bowls out of it. You can add potatoes. You know what I mean? Like just, and we should do a podcast on this, on how to, you know, you can just, if you prep a couple of proteins, there's so many different variations of things you can make with them, which makes it so much easier. It's so delicious. So I think it's, you know, it's what are the habits, what are the behaviors, and then just actually enjoying it. And even that was interesting when it was pissing down rain here for a few days. By the end of a few days, I was like, "Oh my God, I really need to get out and walk and get some sunshine." Like I didn't realize how much I was missing doing that activity. We couldn't go to the gym for a few days, which was fine, but really missed that training. You know, I'm having the rest of this week off because I'm quite tired. I was probably just going to have a deload. But I know by Monday I'll be like, "Oh, I just can't wait to get back in the gym, you know, and get moving again." So yeah, it's where we're actually releasing this new part of the app, hopefully in a few weeks. Which will be so amazing. So basically it will work out your current body composition, your goals. It'll tell you how much you need to train on, how much fat you need to diet off. Every week when you check in, it'll look at where you are at now compared to your goals. And so Craig and I thought we might do a little body recomposition challenge when we launch this new Peter the app. So it'll be a while since I've been like actually really focused with this sort of thing. Yeah. It'd be fun.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, get in there with our clients and do it. And then, you know, what about Craig, someone who, you know, I was just thinking about actually Mary, because her and I message sometimes on Instagram, and she's quite lean already and she is quite strong. Like, she's strong, but she could be stronger. And she's like, oh, maybe I need to embrace the build now and actually eat a little bit more food and really commit to a building phase for a while instead of going back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, again, I think context is important. You know, she, can't remember the timeline, but I think it was 24 hours. She dieted down and she looked really, really good. Mm. She's had a few holiday trips and enjoying the life a little bit, which is as we all do. So, yeah, I think for her, I think I remember having the conversation like, oh, I should start dieting now. I'm like, just keep your food a bit higher and just get back into training and lift. And then I think because we started the lifting challenge, everyone sort of posing, she was like, oh, I'm deadlifts going up and, you know, eating more food might have some legs. But I think it's just, it's important, you know, if you're going through a gains phase that, you know, a little bit of body fat is necessary. Well, not necessary, but it's just kind of part of the process a little bit of when you know, gain for a while. But, you know, building muscle is a very long process. You know, we measure muscle gain in terms of months and years, whereas obviously fat loss, you know, you could measure in weeks. So it's just like, you know, people are like, oh, I'm going to do a gains phase for like, you know, 8 weeks and then you're going to another time. I'm like, you're not going to see much difference in that time. I'm like, do a gains phase for 12 months. Like, yeah, you have to be committed to it for 12 months to really see a noticeable change in your physique, you know. So if the next time you die down, like, it's just you have to spend that time. But I think it's just, it's awesome because the whole measure of success with a gains phase is how strong you can get. And that makes it exciting because every week you go in, you're looking at your numbers, you're like, I've got to beat these numbers, you know. Like, for me to look the way I want, I've got to be able to lift this on this particular exercise, lift this on this particular. You have these real objective measures that allows you to go in to the gym every week and get after it, you know. And it teaches you a lot about, obviously, patience, but it teaches you a lot about recovery because, you know, as you continue to get stronger, you know, and you get better and more efficient at the movements, the stimulus that you're able to, you know, extract from your movements becomes that much higher, and that, you know, affects your ability to recover. And then sometimes, you know, I see, you know, some of the clients that, you know, I've got a lot of different training programs, obviously, in the app, and some of them, you know, 5 days, a bit more high volume and stuff like that. But I generally try and steer people away from some of those ones because I'm just like, look, you're creating a lot of excess fatigue, and I don't always think that's appropriate for a lot of people. But sometimes people, again, they've got to go through it and they're just like, oh, I'm not making any progress, I'm just tired all the time. I'm like, yeah, well, you're at this point now where you're lifting some good weights, like, you let's pull it back to like a 4 day, or let's pull the volume down a little bit, you know. And then all of a sudden things start, you know, so you learn a lot through that process. So yeah, I think at some point everyone needs to embrace you know, 12 months of just solid lifting and, you know, really setting some objective goals there on certain lifts and just like, okay, you know, I've said to clients before, because they're like, I want to diet now. I'm like, you can't go into a fat loss phase until you can lift this on this particular exercise, until you can lift this on this particular exercise. So they're just like, oh, you know, but it's just like, then they've got this real purpose. Like, I've got to get really strong. And I'm like, well, that's the whole fucking point of what I want you to do anyway. But it's just like, sometimes you got to, you know, create that kind of experience for them. Just go, okay, cool, deal. If I get to this, then we're like, yeah, okay, cool.
You are capable of so much more than you think. You know, so many women, they're like, oh, I don't know, kid, if I can do it. And I'm like, you can. You just got to give it time. You can. You just got to believe that you can.
It's,
I believe
it's
that you can.
It's such a shame for someone to go through their life and not see what they're actually truly physically capable of.
Mm.
And it's just happened so many times with women who've never played any sport, never done really any kind of physical activity so much. And there's, you know, obviously the start is very slow because they're, you know, it's a completely, you know, foreign thing to them. But, you know, if you persevere with anything, you'll get better at it. Mm. And, you know, it's sometimes it's just a case of having the right person just go, listen, I just, in the nicest possible way, I just need you to shut the fuck up. I need you to just get in the gym and I need you to pick that thing up off the ground.
Mm.
Like, this is not particularly complicated. I'm not asking you to go and build a rocket ship. I understand that going into a commercial gym and whatever else can be a bit overwhelming for some. But the reality is, if you don't do it, you don't make progress. And if you do it, you have everything to gain from this.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you just do it really hard for like 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Just do it really hard for 2 weeks and let's measure what kind of changes happen with your body composition. And then we'll see what happens. And if mm-hmm. they actually go all in, they track their food and they do all this stuff, it's like, oh yeah, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah. It's a fun process, I think, when you embrace it and you just feel so much better. And it's so nice eating delicious, yummy food.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because who doesn't want to eat fucking more food?
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. I just want to be able to look better naked. Like Anna, my cousin's wife stayed with us for a week. They set up a Christmas and she did our program. She worked one-on-one with Charlotte for a year and now she's in the group coaching.
Ooh.
And she's like, it was so funny. We were just talking about content. She's like, oh, Kitty, I just wanted to like look better naked.
Mm.
I just wanted to look hot. She looks great. She's put on muscle. She's like, but this program, she said, has just improved my relationship with food. You know, I know how to train now. I feel so much better. So, yeah. And she's like, I've told so many people about it, but I think you have to really want that change. You have to stop chasing after the quick fix and really desire that deep transformation. And, you know, another thing, and I was talking to a client in our program and she said, I'm just feeling so overwhelmed. And I said, well, what's two things we can focus on? What about we just focus on two things? And I think, you know, with any sort of transformation, imagine if instead of trying to do things perfectly, you went, I'm just going to focus on this, then I'm going to add in this, then I'm going to add in this. And after about 6 or 8 weeks, imagine where you'd be instead of just going, oh my God. And, you know, just doing it imperfectly. Consistent, imperfect action. It gets you to your goals, you know, not perfection. You'll never, ever get fucking anywhere. Ever.
Never. Never.
That's what we're about in our program. Consistent, imperfect action will get you to your goal. So that's a wrap. It's time to go put on some air fried potato chips and eat the 10 tubs of Häagen-Dazs. So I did this reel where I needed 15 cups of ice cream. So I bought 10 tubs of fucking Häagen-Dazs, which over here, actually, I was saying to Craig, is the ingredients in the Häagen-Dazs are amazing. So they've got macadamia, vanilla, strawberry, coffee.
Obviously,
Dubai.
Dubai and Dubai. Was, apart from the vanilla.
Yeah, every other thing was shit.
They had so much shit in it. It was so weird.
So we got macadamia, vanilla, strawberry, four good flavors over here with like all good, great ingredients. So I was like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah. How good's the macadamia?
Oh, unbelievable.
Incredible, hey.
Yeah, put some honey on it. Yeah.
My God. I've been putting the granola.
I just find that fascinating that it's just like, well, Häagen-Dazs, it's the one company, but in Dubai, all the ingredients are fucking shit. And over here, it's not.
At least
that's what it says on the label.
It's very, very strange.
Well, why does that happen?
I don't know. I've been having it with high protein granola, with Nissa's high protein granola recipe. It's the bomb. It's like, just party in my mouth every fucking night. Well, that's a wrap, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we're going to be back regularly now, just talking about different topics so that you can restore your metabolism, build muscle, lose that stubborn, annoying body fat, get stronger, you know, actually feel energized and in control of your health as you get older. I'll be 44 in January soon, very soon. Can't fucking believe it. Can you?
Mm. No,
I don't believe I'll be 44.
I can't actually. That's crazy. Right. You are. Fuck.
I'm old.
Present for you. Thanks for the reminder.
Well, as always, guys, take a screenshot of the episode and share it on Instagram takeaways and tag me at Kitty, KITTYBLOMFILD. And each month I pick a winner and they get a tub of Saturay Premium Collagen valued at $79. And we will be back again next week.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.